comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it is the show where you matter. And today, here at the Kevin Smith Show, we have living proof that you matter. We hit a crisis point this month with the show's finances. And the reason we hit this crisis point is because there are so many, many people who are either losing their jobs or running out of their unemployment benefits. And many folks who are members have had to suspend their membership. And it hit us all in one month. We even had one today. I get between one and five or six of those every day this month. It's been a tough month. And I get emails from people telling me why they're having to suspend their membership and that they want to be back as soon as they can. And I understand that. But, of course, that creates a real problem for us in the finances for the show. And I really just didn't know what we were going to do. We were coming up on the end of the month. We have things that we absolutely must do. And so acting on advice from one of our listeners, and this is someone that's a longtime listener and a member, acting on advice from that listener, I sent out an email explaining the situation, detailing the situation. This listener said you ought to detail exactly what the situation is. So that's what I did. Well, folks, you have responded phenomenally. And it's just it blows me away. I want to thank you because you've gotten us past this crisis point. For now, the crisis is behind us. And you've made that happen, and I thank you for that. And it means that we're able to continue doing what we do. And tonight is, you know, every once in a while, what we do is open up the TV channel so that people, whether they're members or not, they can view it. And we have that open tonight. And all you have to do is just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click where it says watch tonight for free, and the player will open up, and there you go. And but that's what members get to see the show live every night, and then once, sometimes twice in a month, we open it up free like that, so everybody can see what's going on and get a taste of it. So I hope you enjoy that, and I think you will. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla, and we're going to be talking about several things, but one thing we're going to be talking about that's out there on the internet is this report that there are some giant spaceships that are headed this way. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. We're going to ask Jose Escamilla what he knows about that, and should be an interesting conversation. We'll be back right after this. Thank you. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Jose Escamilla is my guest this evening, and in a way, I should say he really needs no introduction. But people who really need no introduction actually deserve one. And so let me tell you, he is one of the foremost filmmakers in our genre. Some of the most amazing documentary footage that has ever been shot in our genre is as a result of the work of Jose Escamilla. And he is with us again this evening. Jose, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
It's good to be back, and thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Jose, let me tell folks a little bit about this. Let me sort of set this up a little bit, and then we'll get into it. And I think it's important that people get this in the right frame of mind before we start talking about it. Because it's so easy, folks, when we hear things that seem really far out, or we hear things that seem really fantastic or really frightening, we have sort of immediate shock responses. Some people, it's like, oh my God, the world's coming to an end. And other people, their shock response is, oh, that's baloney, that's nonsense. And then there's everything in between. But an immediate shock response is not what we need here, regardless of which end of the scale it's on, because we don't know for sure if some of these speculations are true. So we need to know about them so we can begin to think about them, so we can begin to ask questions about them and look for information about them. And that's the purpose for what we're going to discuss here in just a moment. And what the story is that there are some gigantic spaceships that are headed towards Earth, some of them 150 miles in length, 50 miles across. And I went looking for information about this on the internet. I found videos. I found some pictures. I found an article on a blog about it. There's a lot of stuff out there about this. And this blog, I'm going to read this first paragraph, and then we'll get into this. The first paragraph in this blog says, "Recent light has been shed on the reason that SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Project, has been canceled by the government. It seems that something was starting to happen. According to my sources," now folks, don't say that I said I had these sources. I'm reading you a blog, okay? And the blog says, "According to my sources, the government Black Project boys have taken over some of the antennas at SETI and are now processing signals for the exclusive use of the United States Navy. The government seems to be highly upset that more than one very large object is fast approaching Earth." Now, that's the way this blog starts. And it goes on with some speculations about things, and the blog contained a photograph, very similar to the photograph that you saw right at the beginning of the show. So, if that is baloney, then okay, it's baloney. If it's nonsense, it's nonsense. If it's true that these objects are out there, and if it is true that they are headed toward Earth, then we need to be thinking about, so what are they, and what are their intentions, and who are they, etc. So we need to think about this. It's fantastic information. I understand that. It's the kind of information that most people in and out of the UFO community would probably go, yeah, right. That's the wrong response. A fear response is also the wrong response. The right response is for us to say, well, let's look at this. Let's examine what evidence there may be. Let's ask questions and let's see. At least that's my opinion of what the right response would be. And so that's what we're going to do. Jose, you have quite a number of photographs of these objects. Am I correct?
Absolutely. I was on the ATS forum, you know, that above top secret, and there's some people that have brought this out. I'd never heard of this stuff. And they had about three or four photos. They said, man, these things are enormous ships that are coming from around the area of Pluto. And there's this website that my computer just crashed, so I'm rebooting. Otherwise, I'd give you the name of it. I think I sent you the link. It's sky-something.org. And as soon as I bring it up, I'll tell your listeners what it is. But
And let's be sure that you explain the computer that crashed. Is that a PC or a Mac?
My computer, no, I have a Macintosh.
And it crashed?
Apple Mac. It just, the screen just went off. It
oh, okay.
Shut off, so I had to reboot. What can you do? Yeah, the last time we got disconnected, right?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Very strange. High strangeness, but what can you do? Anyway, it's launching right now.
All right. Well, go ahead and tell us about you saw these objects, and
I'll be doggone. I mean, when you go to this one website right away, you see the Milky Way, right?
Okay.
And then you start zooming in and zooming in and zooming in into these coordinates, and before you know it, you start seeing things that are ships of some kind that are way out there in far, far deep, deep space. I'm talking further than the planet Pluto, if you can imagine the distances, all right? And these things are big enough to register in the zoom in that you're doing, and which they're enormous, these things. I started scanning that area near Jupiter and the planet Neptune, and lo and behold, man, I found this one thing that I named it the Orange Tanker, all right?
Okay.
Starship or whatever it is. This thing is so huge. It's probably the size of our complete solar system. That's how huge this thing must be.
And where is it?
I'm sorry?
Where is it? Is it headed toward us?
I think so. From what all accounts that I've received and you know, people are writing up, these things are headed towards planet Earth, you know?
Well, if it's as big as our solar system, if it's as big as our solar system and headed towards us, nothing in our solar system would survive.
No, it's massive, you know, if it's that size. To me, it appears so because, okay, here it is. It's sky-map.org, sky-map.org. You go there, and you're going to see the Milky Way. And then where it says find object, there are some coordinates that you need to type in. And then start zooming into it. On the left side, there's a handle that has a zoom tool.
Mm-hmm.
And you scroll down about three notches, and it'll take you right to this object. And it's a huge orange thing.
Okay, where will people be able to find those coordinates?
Well, I had sent them to you earlier. I'm going to upload them within the next half hour. I'm going to upload a page so that everyone will be able to see this. So I apologize. I was... you know, we didn't get everything together in time, but I'm going to set up a page. I'm setting up the page right now, and I'll upload it, and everyone will be able to check it out for themselves. And believe me, when you comprehend the distance these things are from Earth in deep, deep, far space, it just makes you gasp, you know? Whatever they are and whoever is inhabiting them, they're out there. And there's a lot of weird-looking things out there. I even found some rod shapes, some vector-shaped objects, and they're out there in space, you know.
How do we know that they are headed toward us? Because I read quite a bit of stuff today on the Internet about this, and I read lots of places where they said they are headed toward us. I didn't read where anyone could explain, or where anyone did explain, how we know they're headed toward Earth.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what's been written about these things, that they're headed towards Earth. And, you know, people jump to conclusions just like I just did. So I don't know if they're headed towards Earth, but I tell you what, they're there. And I don't know. If they are headed towards Earth, that one that I'm saying, I'm guesstimating, that is as huge as our solar system, or at least half of the length because of the distance. I mean, you have to imagine, the planet Pluto cannot even be seen. It's so small compared to this object. You know what I'm saying? I mean...
Yeah, the planet Pluto is very difficult for them to see. But then, again, it's about... It's the size of a pinhead out there. It's a tiny, tiny little planetoid. Now, these things, though... what I'm looking at says this. It says, at the present time, the objects are beyond the orbit of Pluto. It is estimated that the objects are in the neighborhood of 150 miles by 50 miles, 30 to 50 miles. So 150 miles in length and then 30 to 50 miles across. Not so long ago, a Russian Mars probe photographed an object fitting this description just before it was destroyed for unknown reasons. Well, they're referring to Phobos 2, and that's inaccurate. The object that it photographed was never estimated to be 150 miles long. It was estimated to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 26 kilometers long, which is long. It's big enough.
How much does that come out in miles, sir?
I'm sorry?
I don't know the metric system. How kilometers? How big would that be?
Well, let's see. 100 kilometers is 60 miles. So 20 kilometers would be what?
Big.
I can't do the math in my head. Let me scribble it down here.
That's pretty big. That's pretty large.
Well, yeah. Let's see. That would be about 12 miles.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah. 20 kilometers would be 12 miles.
Independence Day type UFO, you know?
Yeah, that's a very big UFO. See, on the one hand... I don't want to just say this is nonsense, because it might not be. Obviously, there are photographs of something out there. On the other hand, I'm seeing stuff like this, and you know, I appreciate the report, but the inaccuracy in it leads me to wonder how much inaccuracy there is, because I do know that the one that was said to have destroyed the Phobos 2 satellite was estimated to be 26 kilometers in length, and 26 kilometers would be just over 12 miles, about 14 miles in length.
Pretty big.
So now, who is it that has who found this? Who discovered that these things are out there? Do you know that?
You know, it was just some people on the ATS forum. You know, they use these different namesakes.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, hey, guys, look at this. You know, mm-hmm. I checked it out, and I go, wow. I saw two of their things, and then I went on there myself, onto the SkyMat thing, and which I'll have up there momentarily. But I went up on there myself and started scanning the areas near Neptune and... you know, further to the left of where there's one or two ships that they registered. And I found some very strange things up there, too. It's just amazing what's out there. And I don't know, maybe this orange tank that I'm thinking about is maybe, you know, not as big as our solar system. I'm just exaggerating, man. To me, I'm going, man, for this thing to be visible from this distance, this thing's got to be huge, man, enormously huge.
Well, you would think it would have to be bigger than Pluto, because they can barely see Pluto.
You can't even see Pluto. You know, it's just another dot.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing is just enormous, and it's massive. And you know, whatever its mass, whatever its size is, maybe it's 1,000 miles long. I don't know. You know, I go, wow, that's as big as our solar system. You know, I exaggerate sometimes, but just looking at the size of this thing, it's just enormous. You know.
All right, now you've been reading the forums there about this. This is where you discovered it. What I'm reading is a blog, and here is a statement that I have questions about. I'm not going to say I have problems with it. I've got questions about it. It says, according to my sources, the government Black Project boys have taken over some of the antennas, and he's referring to SETI antennas. Now, the questions, according to my sources, well, who are they? Okay, if you can't tell us who the sources are, then sources where? At Joe's Bar and Grill?
Exactly. You know,
sources in the government, sources at some science department in a university. You know, give us a clue, you know. So on the forums, what are they saying about this thing, about SETI being closed down and the government black ops taking over some of the antennas? What are they saying about that on the forums? Anything?
You know, they're mentioning that they've shut down SETI and that they're no longer looking for intelligent life because they've already found it. You know, that kind of stuff. But I've never seen an official, you know, acclamation to that. So it's anyone's guess. You know, people are saying this and that, you know. Just like me saying, and I hate to do this, but I'm telling the truth. It's like me saying, man, that thing's as big as our solar system. Okay, that was my own opinion, you know, in a slight moment of excitement, you know, but who knows, man?
Well, yeah, and we all do that. That's just the nature of our species. We all do that. I guess what I'm trying to sort through here tonight is whether this information is good, solid information, or whether this is some more of the hocus-pocus stuff that we find so much of and have for decades being thrown up in the UFO community. All right, now, on the screen, and I don't know if you've got the computer back up, but if you do, and if you happen to be watching the show, I've got a picture of this blue, big, long thing, and it's out there. It doesn't appear to be a star or a planet. I don't know what it is. When you go to SkyMap, well, a break just took over, so we'll pick up there when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla, and we're talking about some really weird pictures that are showing up on the internet and some pretty interesting comments that are being made about those pictures. And I'm simply exploring the idea and asking the questions, are these actually artificial objects in some way? By artificial, I mean they're not stars, not planets, not comets, not stuff like that, but something constructed. Is that what these are? Jose, started to ask you as we went to break, when you go to sky-map.org, when you go there and you look at these coordinates, are there any kind of comments at all at SkyMap, or do they just show you the sky?
You know, there are, let me see, I do believe there are no comments areas there. that I know of. No, there's no comment area. But, you know, on some of the other blogs and websites that I've seen, everybody's talking about these things. They're going, what in the world? Are they coming to Earth? It looks like they're coming here because I see it in one day, and then the next day it's closer. You know, we're getting that kind of reaction. So it's anybody's guess. But everybody's starting to tune into this. It's really, really wild, you know?
One of the statements in this article here in this blog says that the people that were associated with SETI are in unanimous opinion in a, let me start over. The people that were associated with SETI are in a unanimous opinion that yes, we are not alone in the universe. I'm not aware of that. That might be true that they are of the opinion that there is extraterrestrial life out there somewhere that's intelligent, but I'm not aware that there's been any statement out of SETI that this is their opinion. Are you?
Yeah, I've not heard that this is an official statement from SETI, you know, but who knows?
Well, in fairness, the blog, yeah, in fairness, this blog doesn't say that that's an official statement from SETI, but it is saying that all the people that were associated with SETI are unanimous in their opinion that we're not alone in the universe.
Yeah, I think they finally come to grips that that's true. We are not alone. We've never been alone. You know, it's just that the Pentagon, the White House, and the government's been telling us different, you know. So, the disclosure's been there. I mean, we have the photographic evidence and the film evidence and eyewitness reports. I mean, there's millions of people that have seen these things.
Mm-hmm.
And not just recently. We're talking, it goes back to thousands of years ago, you know. And for the powers that be, you know, to continue to ridicule and make fun in light of this phenomena, I think it's really time that they just say, all right, we lied to you, but here's the reason why, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's time. So, you heard about, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Well, there is a report, of course, that a historical report, that when Alexander the Great was becoming the Great, and was conquering all these lands. He came up against a city. I believe it was in Egypt, but I'm not sure. Could have been Turkey, maybe. But he came up against a city that was walled, and they were not able to... they were not being successful in their siege of the city. And this ancient report says that a shining disc appeared and a beam of light shot down and destroyed the wall, and then Alexander's troops went in.
Exactly. Yeah.
You would think if this was mythology, they would have said that Zeus threw his shield at the wall or something like that, you know.
Yeah, no, they said there was an object that came in there.
Yeah.
A flying thing, and, you know, I think it was Alexandra.
Oh, it may be. I don't remember which city it was.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But yeah, it's written in the history books, and there's been a lot of, even Christopher Columbus described objects coming out of the oceans.
Yeah, he did.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, just it's a historical record. It's the human record.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact. Listen, I just emailed you a link to the SkyMap thing, and I also added. It's a page. Just go to tblnfilms.com/, type in the word sky, with a capital S, SKY, and then /, and then index.html, and you'll get to the page where there's also these huge objects that are larger than the planet Jupiter that are orbiting our sun. That's another thing that's been happening, is there's these UFO objects that have been surrounding our sun and doing stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
since they were discovered last year, I believe it was last...
was January of this year. As a matter of fact, January the 18th of this year was when the first ones were photographed and began to be talked about. I'm not aware of any before that, but
they've been around since last year, since May of 2009, because that's when I started downloading tons of these photos.
Okay.
And I think it's just barely caught on in January of this year, which happened, but I've added a few, you know, little photos there of that. But yeah, these things are huge, man. They're larger than Jupiter, if you can imagine that. Jupiter's massive.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Yeah, it's a big boy.
All over the sun.
Well, now, these things that are around the sun, I've done several shows on those. There are some really weird pictures of those. The official position, the official statement is that those are not objects, but those are artifacts of data compression.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Anything official is BS, man.
Well,
to say, oh, it's a camera artifact or a lens artifact or something in the emulsion of the film. You know, that's a bunch of corn, man.
Well, and look, here's another thing. Those compression artifacts are reflecting sunlight.
Yeah, and they're creating their own movement, too. I mean, there's compression artifacts in the photos. I mean, you can tell, though, and they look like pixels. All right?
Yeah.
But these things are not. I mean... And plus, also, if it's an artifact in the photo, it will not move around. It'll stay in the same spot or reappear there.
Yeah.
You know, because that's where the defect is in whatever the camera optics are. No, I'm sorry, that's not a good explanation. You know. Mm-hmm. And as I say, anything that is official, an official announcement, it's BS. Sorry. After so many years that they've made official commentary, you know. We find out that they lied to us.
So, well, and that of course,
official with a grain of salt.
That of course will create its own problems. If they decide to come clean and tell us the truth, nobody will believe them.
Yeah, and even then, if they do decide to come clean, half of the population out there is dumb enough to just say, "Oh, okay, I knew it all along." You know, I mean, they're just gonna lie with it. You know?
All right. Well, let's get back to these objects that we started talking about here. 150 miles long, 30 to 50 miles wide, and people are saying they're headed for the Earth. Now, the stuff that you've been reading about these, because I know it got anything, especially if it's got pictures, anything like this gets your attention, and you start looking at it and. You look at it with a filmmaker's eye. But let me ask you about what you've read. They're saying these objects are headed for the Earth. Are they predicting any time when they should be arriving?
Funny you should ask that. You know your guest last night?
Stan Fulham.
He retired.
Yeah, Stanley Fulham.
Yes. You know, maybe these things are going to make it here in time for the event that he was describing. I mean, you know, in October of this year. Who knows, man? But there's been no timeline scheduled, but you figure the technology that these things possess, I'm sure they could make it here, like, in days, if not a month.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm kind of looking forward to around the 13th or the rest of October, the rest of this year. To see if there is any kind of beings that appear in the sky suddenly, you know. That would be very interesting.
Oh, you know, if you have a spaceship that's 150 miles long and 50 miles across, you don't have to appear over a bunch of cities. All you got to do is appear over one city.
Yeah.
And that's going to be big enough that the whole world is going to be watching that.
Exactly. And I welcome that day. I'm going to see what the reaction is going to be, you know, from JQ, man, JQ Public. You know?
Yeah.
I know that you and I and the rest of us that are in tune, that are illuminated in our own right, you know, we'll probably just laugh off and say, see, I knew it was going to come down to this. But, you know, the public is just going to go bananas.
I don't know.
I would think.
I don't know. Some will. You know, mushrooms will always be mushrooms, but not everybody out there is a mushroom.
I love that. That's true.
You know, and mushrooms...
Well, there's a lot of tomatoes out there, man.
Yeah, well, you know, the people who have their heads stuck in the sitcoms or, you know, they're just not paying attention to what's going on around the world.
Yeah.
They're still going to be that way. And, you know, some of them may, you know, fall on the ground and worship these things as if they're gods. I think...
That's what they did in ancient times. Jeez.
Well, I think Independence Day does show... the dichotomy of response in the population. Independence Day was an excellent film. I enjoyed it. It was science fiction. It was fun to watch. But if we start really looking at, you know, well, how much of that is fact? Well, I disagree with a lot of it. If we're going to say that it's fact, but one thing that was in there that I thought was pretty accurate. And I'm just speculating. I'm looking into the future and kind of speculating based on what I know about us humans, or whatever we are. Some of the people, they're out on top of skyscrapers and they've got signs saying welcome and they're cheering and it's a big deal and, you know... And there are other people saying, "Ooh, this is not a good deal. Don't go up there. Don't do that. That's not smart." And
yeah.
I think there will be a dichotomy in the response of the population. And
that part kind of disturbed me a little bit because it's going back to the ridicule and the poking fun of the people that are the true people that believe in this stuff, that believe this stuff is real. And, you know, it kind of portrayed them as kooks, you know, and that, you know, that's what the problem has been, that's been the problem, you know, everybody's been treated like they're maniacs, you know, they're goons, if you think that UFOs are real, and the way they portrayed that is typical, but,
But see, that's our fault. It's our fault because we let them get away with it, we don't put it back in their face. We don't question their intelligence and their credentials. We act as though they're the only ones that can ask the questions.
That's true.
And you know, you put it back in their face with some evidence, and they back down.
Yeah. Like I said, I can't wait to see an event like that happen. Speaking of the event, did you happen to see last night's episode? I missed it.
No, I didn't. But a break is taking over. We have to step away, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jose Escamilla. We're talking about these things that this is all over the internet. People are talking about it, a lot of stuff being written about it, and unfortunately, anything new, this doesn't just happen in the world of UFOs. It happens in everything. But anything new creates a big buzz, and there's all kinds of speculative things that are written and said, and then it sort of begins to sift down and settle down, and we finally eventually get to a kernel of truth. I want to remind you that the very first publication, as far as I know, the first publication to actually say there was a face on Mars and to print a photograph of it was the National Enquirer. And everybody sort of walked past it in the grocery store and saw that and kind of went, yeah, right. Well, guess what? sometimes they get it right. And so sometimes, in the first blush of information, sometimes there's something there that's right. And so that's why we're looking at this. This is kind of first blush information. It's, you know, this isn't the first day that it's been out there, but it's new information. And there's a lot of excitement about it, a lot of people talking about it. Now, can you imagine, Jose, you're a filmmaker. Can you imagine making a film in which you actually go with your camera on board one of these? In other words, I don't mean in reality, but you're making a film, and so in the film you take us on board one of these craft. I'll go ahead and say it's a craft for the sake of this discussion. It's 150 miles long. How would you show us the captain getting from the bridge to the back of the ship to tend to business?
Well, first thing I would do is I would say, okay, guys, before you beam me up or whatever, let me get a master shot of what we're talking about here so we can show how massive you are. And then I want to be able to have a camera rolling while I'm being taken up on the ship. And I would start from the, you know, from the most basic areas of the ship up to the command area, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I would want to get a complete scenario filmed and kept for posterity, you know, for future generations. But I would check every nook and cranny out, man.
How would you suspect the captain gets from the bridge to the back of the ship? What, a golf cart?
Who knows, man?
150 miles to the back of the ship.
They can beam a person up, you know, without having to send down an elevator or something. They can beam you up. I'm pretty sure he can just beam himself into whatever area he has to be.
I guess so.
You know?
Hadn't thought of that.
Even the...
How would you do it? If you were making this as a sci-fi film, how would you have him do it?
I'd have it to where he would just... The area would change around him, which would be the same thing, like him beaming into a thing, sort of like a hologram, a holodeck. You know, if he wanted to be on the other side of the ship, and that's, you know, 200 miles away, that poor sucker ain't going to walk it. I'm sorry, man. You know, but he could just, at the click of a thought, man, he could just be there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You would think.
Star Trek, that's the first time we saw anybody being beamed up and beamed down. And Gene Roddenberry gave us that. You know, that's the first time we saw it. And I was just wondering by what technology you would show movement in the ship like that.
I know. You would think they would have had it down by then.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, talking about Gene Roddenberry, I met his daughter, Daylene Roddenberry. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Darlene, I'm sorry, Darlene. Unfortunately, she came to an untimely end in Las Vegas, but I met her back in 1994 or 95, and she told me that her dad had come up with a TV series because he'd had a UFO encounter. You know, he was a pilot,
mm-hmm.
and he had a UFO encounter, and that's where he got the idea to create the series Star Trek. And Darlene at one time was a good friend of mine, man. We were in communication all the time, and she was murdered basically by her former husband.
Oh, my.
And it's just a case. It's a case that's unsolved, you know, cold case file type thing, but it needs to be addressed. There's a lot of things surrounding her death that I'm not too pleased with. But anyway, I just wanted to give you a little anecdote on that. The reason he came up with Star Trek is because he himself had a UFO encounter while he was a pilot.
Well, you know, the Enterprise, we think of that as being a massive ship. But the Enterprise would fit inside of one of these quite easily, wouldn't it?
In a closet.
Yeah.
One of these objects, yeah. That's how huge these things are. You know, Kevin, another thing, too, I'm going back to the John Leonard Walson starships that he's been filming through his telescope that are posing as stars in the constellations like the Big Dipper and the Orion constellation, these objects that are allegedly orbiting Earth in near space, deep space. You know, they're huge.
Uh-huh.
And who is inhabiting these things, you know? Are there humans there? And if they're not ours, then whose are they? And they're massive. They're really, really huge objects that...
Are they as big as these objects?
Probably so, you know, probably about the same. They're massive. Have you seen my film Interstellar?
No, I have not seen Interstellar.
I'm going to have to send it to you because it's all about these ships that this guy named John Bernard Walston has been filming through his telescope. And when I first got on the project and I signed up with him, he sent me all these incredible, you know, films of these objects that are posing as stars in the constellations. And they're perfect synchronization with the orbit of Earth. So what we think is a star that's part of the Big Dipper, guess what? It's not. It's a ship.
I've seen some of his, I've seen some video clips that he's put up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they are amazing. They are amazing. But again, do you think that they're the same size as these things?
Well, whatever these things are, the John Bernard Walston ships, they're massive. They could be 100 miles in length, you know,
mm-hmm.
150 miles. You know, so and the incredible stuff that I've had from him, that's in my Interstellar movie, is these things. One of them looks like a giant, what do you call those, man? Transformer, like a giant transformer that's just flying around in space, and then this thing transforms into a different shape, right before your very eyes. It's amazing.
So he got it on. He filmed it doing that.
What's that?
He filmed it transforming?
Yeah, he filmed it through his telescope.
Wow.
It's in deep space, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know whether he's faking it. I got to be truthful. I don't know if he's faking the stuff. To me, when I first looked at it at first glance, I was totally amazed. That's why I decided to get involved with this guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, later on, we had a falling out. He breached our contract. He started doing a lot of weirdness, man. But for the most part, the footage that I've received from him, it's an incredible thing if it's real, you know.
Well, and that's the big question, really, with all of this kind of stuff, is it real?
Yeah.
You know, now, obviously, when we look at these pictures and we see this massive blue object that I've been putting on the screen, that's real, but then you have to ask your question, real what? You know, it's obviously real because the cameras took a picture of it. It's there. But then what is it? And then the information that we've been getting, for instance, see, I may be really behind the curve on this information. I may be. It's not impossible. It is unusual for me to be behind the curve on this information in this genre.
Right.
It's not impossible, though. Sometimes things do slip by me. But I was not aware that SETI had been closed down by the government.
Yeah, I received an email to that effect. And I immediately went to the website. It's still there. But, you know, maybe it'll be taken down eventually, or maybe it's down by now. I mean, I haven't checked it in about a week.
Well, see, I got some email saying that the government has done this, but I can't find the source information. All right, we'll be back right after this, folks. Was special. As we went to break, we got hit. Thankfully, the radio computer did just fine. And so people out there listening by radio had no interruption. They just got a little bit of extra music. But the TV feed just seized up, locked up, and the computer automatically rebooted. Weird stuff. You must have said something, or maybe I did, Jose, that shook someone up. I don't know. What do you think? Well, Jose should be there. He was there. Let me see. Jose, are you still with me? Well, he's gone. And now, folks, this only happens with certain guests and certain topics. You make of it what you will, but we're going to try to get him back.
Hey, man, what's happening?
Well, weird stuff is happening. Weird stuff.
Oh, that's nothing new.
Well, as I told the audience, this only happens with certain guests and certain topics. And you're one of the guests that nearly every time you're on, we have something weird happen like this.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, but whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
So, are we good to go?
We're good to go. We're on the air.
Oh.
So, cool. What I want to do is open up the telephone lines and invite our audience to join us. You may have a question of Jose, a comment for Jose, or you just have a question or comment about these things that we're talking about. Maybe you know something about them that we don't know. Maybe we're missing something.
Absolutely.
But the telephone lines are open, and the telephone numbers are as follows. The main studio number here, called directly on to my desk here, 623-444-5889. The toll-free number in the USA and Canada is 888-223-4599. So if you need to call me toll-free, you may do so if you're in the USA or Canada. Outside of the USA and outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for out there, so what I have for out there is something called the Flash Message. You can go to my website, scroll down, you'll see a graphic about tonight's show. Well, to the right of that is a link that says Flash Message, but you must be outside the USA and you must be outside of Canada. If you're in the USA or Canada, I'll never see it. All right, 623-444-5889, and my question for the audience is this. Now, folks, I've been showing the photographs that are out there on the net, and Jose has put up a page that's got a whole lot more photos. My question for you is, obviously, those things are there, whatever they are, because they reflected light and got their picture taken.
Right.
Okay? So, they're obviously there. But the question is, what do you think they are? Do you think these reports are accurate that are out there on the internet saying that these are giant spaceships and that they are headed towards the Earth? Is that accurate? Has SETI, or at least part of it, been taken over by black ops guys?
I've read a couple of reports where they're saying that one day they were a certain distance, the next day they were closer. Now, that doesn't tell me that they're coming to Earth, but they're definitely moving forward, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I haven't seen those photos, okay? I've only seen the photos that I've downloaded, you know, this last few days, so I can't even tell. You know, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to come on to monitor these things every week and see if, in fact, they are moving closer. You know?
Yeah.
I have the coordinates, and I urge everyone out there, that big orange thing, man, that big orange tanker, you know, I sent you the coordinates where you can zone into it. Every week, go back and type in those coordinates or paste them, copy and paste them, and see if this thing is closer than what the scenery was before. If you can, which is just what I'm doing, is I'm getting a frame, a frame capture of the picture at those coordinates at a certain time. So I'm going to check it out next week, and if it's closer when I zoom in, I'll be able to tell the difference between two photos, you know, because I'm going to do a frame capture of it. So, you know, that's the only way we can tell if this thing is moving forward or away from us. You know?
Do you have any plans to do any film with this? I mean, are you going to make a film out of any of this if it turns out?
I may make a short film that I'm going to put up on YouTube and, you know, just show what's there. But at this time, I'm not planning on anything unless something significant occurs. You know, something significant where I say, you know what, this thing is coming closer. It's at Mars now, you know. I mean, then I'll definitely make some waves. But at this time, I'll probably just do a web page and just show the transitions of this thing. And there's a lot of other things that are there, too. This is not the only one. This is just one that really captured my attention because this sucker is huge.
You mentioned Mars. Now, you've done a lot of film work having to do with the moon, with Luna.
Yeah, yes.
What about Mars? Have you done anything with Mars?
Absolutely. I have. I have in the near future, like in the next few months, I have a short film that I'm making on Mars, and it's going to have a lot of fireworks, stuff that people have not even seen yet. Did you know, Kevin, that about 7 years ago, there was a web page that showed, the Mars rover, what have you, and it showed a hand. Now, I thought for a long time it was photoshopped in, but it wasn't. I checked the pixels. That's how you can tell if something is fake.
Okay, are you talking about the one where it looks like kind of an alien skull right at the tracks?
No, I'm talking about an alien hand that had four fingers on it and part of an arm that touched part of the rover itself. You know, the camera is situated in a certain area.
Yeah.
That overlooks the front of the rover and the tires and all that. There was a hand that was there. And I happened to have downloaded that photo, and it was from the Mars rover. I mean, I don't make this stuff up. And I've checked it out pixel by pixel. It took me about a year to really figure out that this thing is not a fake. You know, the way you can tell if it's a Photoshop thing or something that's composited is it always has a certain pixel difference in the photo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're really good and you do a live thing and you shoot it and then you put it up there and put it on the NASA website, which I doubt somebody did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You could have had a prosthetic makeup, you know, special effects hand with an alien-looking thing and uploaded onto the NASA website where it was downloaded, but I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, to me, is authentic, and it appears to be an alien-looking hand. And I've never seen this photo ever again. I just saw it that one time, and this is, like I said, about 6 or 7 years ago.
Well, that must have been the Pathfinder rover, the Pathfinder
Maybe
mission.
Maybe so. I don't remember what it was, but it was definitely a NASA probe that was on Mars. And there were other things that this thing was photographing, and this person had this web page, and all of a sudden the web page disappeared. And I'm glad that I downloaded these photos. Unfortunately, doggone it, it was downloaded onto my other computer, which is in storage right now. Which I need to talk to you about that too.
Okay.
I need some help, people. But to salvage my UFO archives. Anyway, that's another subject.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a lot of things. I'm definitely going to do either a half hour or 1 hour show on Mars anomalies. That's just going to wake a lot of people up.
One of the things about Mars that I have talked about a lot is that. Several years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, scientists at the European Space Agency discovered that there was methane in the atmosphere of Mars. And methane, there are a couple of different ways methane can get into the atmosphere, but generally speaking, it is the result of biological processes, decay, biological decay.
Sure.
And they were saying at the time that, well, you know, methane can stay in the atmosphere up to 400 years. So it doesn't necessarily mean that this is recent in terms of, you know, how we think of recent.
Yeah.
Just a short time after that, they discovered there was ammonia. And ammonia, they said, could stay in the atmosphere of Mars 6 hours. Well, ammonia is also generally produced as a byproduct of biological breakdown.
Right.
And but now NASA has said something about the methane on Mars that I'm going to get to in just a moment that absolutely blew me away, and I think it nails down that this methane is biological in origin. I want to take this telephone call first. So, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hello.
You're live on the air. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, Kevin, this is John from Conroe, Texas, once again.
Hello, John.
Hey, John.
I had a question. I did send you some photograph, or a photograph, probably 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to forward to Roger Lear.
Uh-huh.
And wanted to just double check and see whether or not you had received them.
Yes, and I have forwarded.
Thank you.
Okay.
The question for Jose is that the rods that he has photographed are incredibly interesting. And I've mm-hmm. looked at them, and I'm so totally intrigued. I don't know how a scientist on the planet could not look at what he has done without being, again, totally intrigued by what he has photographed. I just wanted to give some reinforcement for Jose and what he has done, and also say continue in his efforts, and thank you for your efforts too in whatever we're exploring, because we're exploring the unknown.
All right.
Well, thank you for your support, man. You know, I have taken the rods to scientists, and believe it or not, I do have some real scientific people that have taken, you know, the project forward. People at the Museum of Natural History in Los Angeles. I mean, paleontologists, zoologists, marine biologists also have taken an interest in them. But the bottom line is, until we get a specimen, they really can't get involved. I mean, they're not in the business of visual stuff.
Oh,
you know?
They're so totally wrong.
Yeah.
You know, visual evidence is visual evidence.
I know, but what can you do? Their science is, hey, we have a bone here.
No, it's not about whether or not they're scientists. You know, I think they're blowing it. You know, your eyes don't lie.
But, you know, what can I do? There's not much I can do about it.
Well, I'm a scientist, too. Your eyes don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You see what you see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in support of what you're doing.
Well, thank you, sir. I wish many more scientists would take your view, because these things are very real. They're not insects. Believe me, they are not insects. It's a real deal, man. Whatever these things are.
I agree. It's real.
Well, I thank you for that.
I look at the sky. So, you know, anyway, just support of you. Thank you.
Okay, John, thank you so much. I appreciate the call.
Thanks.
All right, Jose, are you Are you seated?
I am seated. What you got for me?
All right. Put your seatbelt on. Here we go. The thing about the methane. And caller, if you will, just hang on while I announce this about what they've come up with now with the methane. They had said it could last up to 400 years in the atmosphere. Well,
yep.
According to a study by Italian scientists Sergio Fonti and Giuseppe Marzo, and Marzo is NASA, Ames Research Center. They've used observations from NASA's Mars Global Surveyor spacecraft to track the evolution of the gas, the methane, over 3 years, and they presented their results on September 21st. And it appears that the absolute longest that the methane can stay in the Martian atmosphere is 1 year. Furthermore, furthermore, levels of the methane are highest in the autumn in the northern hemisphere, and they're localized. They have localized peaks. In other words, the sources of the methane seem to be localized. So there's specific areas that it's coming from, and in the summertime, those levels go up, and in the wintertime, they go down. So that tells me that's not from volcanoes. That's not the reason it's seasonal is because biology responds to seasons. A volcano is hot. It doesn't matter if it's a wintertime, and it doesn't matter if it's a summertime. A volcano is hot, and it does what it does. Okay, but if this methane is coming from biology, you would expect it to be seasonal. Decay happens faster in warmer weather.
So wow.
I think that pretty much nails it. I think that's biological methane. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Good evening. Jose, it's Jeff from calling from Montreal.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Jose. Great work. I'm well, thank you. Thanks for taking the call, Kevin. I'm just becoming familiar with your work, Jose, and I must say that I'm blown away, quite simply, by what you're able to do. I wanted to ask you both what you thought about the recent United Nations news that they were appointing or going to appoint someone to be the quote-unquote leader that an ET would go to. Rather than one single president or prime minister in the world. So the United Nations is now talking about appointing a representative to for alien contact, and I just wanted to know.
Yeah, it's some lady from Malaysia, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure. I think so.
Yeah.
And I just thought, is this heralding in this arrival of these ships, perhaps? Is this their way of incrementally preparing us?
Could be.
You know, it's kind of funny that, you know, that would come to in the news. I mean, we had the press conference with Robert Salas, who's a good friend of mine, you know, in Washington, with all the pilots, all the people talking about the UFOs canceling out their nuclear weapons and things
great.
At these bases. Yeah, and then we have this lady that's been chosen by the UN to represent us in greeting the aliens when they get here, and it's like, what about the aliens, man? Who do they want to talk to? It's like, okay, here's the chick, man, that's going to be representing the planet Earth. She's from Malaysia or something. I can't even pronounce her name. But and everybody's gearing up for it, you know. And then who are the aliens wanting to talk to? Is it the President Obama? Or are they going to talk to us? I think they've been talking to us all these years. Like I say,
I can envision this.
Man.
I can envision,
you know,
this.
Thousands of years ago.
The aliens land, right? They finally land, and instead of getting out and saying, take me to your leader, they get out and say, which way to Starbucks?
Absolutely. You guys have a great evening. Jose, keep up the great work. Hey. I'm looking forward to seeing this stuff.
Thank you, sir, and I'll talk to you again, man. Thanks, man.
Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. Or 888-223-4599. And, you know, we live in amazing times. We really do. You know, it's one thing to live in interesting times. We pass that. We are in amazing times. Okay, we've got from the United Kingdom. Okay, Steve Fewings. United Kingdom. Okay, he sent me some coordinates, and I will. If these are not the same coordinates that you sent me, then I will. I'll send these to you. If it's the same, then there's no need for me to send them to you. Bob in Australia. Hi guys. Have you thought that these craft could actually have whole civilizations inside of them, wanting to share Earth? If that's the case, Kevin, lock and load.
Could be, man. Lock and load, brother.
I mean, oh, well. I don't think so.
No. I got to tell you something. When I was doing Interstellar, did a little bit of research, and it happens to be that one of the biggest artists for NASA, I believe his name is Hawkins. I can't remember his first name, but he's a famous artist for NASA. He was doing environmental facilities that could exist in space where we could have like millions of people within this big starship environment, and they had their own ecosystem. Mm-hmm. All right, and it's not a far-fetched thing. These things that are orbiting Earth, if they are there, and you know what, I wouldn't put it past us to have something out there. Believe me, I know that there's probably colonizations on the moon and Mars. I believe so. I mean, Laura Eisenhower was asked to be part of an elite, you know, team of people that was going to colonize Mars. She was approached. You know, and so the story goes. I don't know the factual thing, but it would not surprise me a bit. But this guy Hawkins, man, he did these incredible artwork, and it was presented in Scientific American, Popular Mechanics, you know.
All right, we have to step away for break. We will be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Talking with Jose Escamilla this evening. And let me just underscore this, Jose, and then I want to talk about something else here. The telephone lines are open, folks, if you want to give us a call. 623-444-5889. Toll free 888-223-4599. But this thing about the methane. Now, this is a NASA scientist and an ESA scientist, European Space Agency scientist. I'm pretty sure that's where he is. He's with a university in Salento in Italy. The other guy is NASA Ames Research. And they have, for 3 years now, been studying the data about the methane on Mars. And what they discovered is it can't last 400 years. It cannot last 400 years in the Martian atmosphere. The upper limit of how long it can last, in other words, the outside longest period of time it possibly can last in the atmosphere, is a year. Methane is what you get when things decay. Okay? That's the gas that's given off. It's one of the gases given off when things decay. And things do decay. All right, so now, and of course that means biology. It means living things of some kind decaying. It could also be coming from volcanoes, except we don't know of any active volcanoes on Mars. Well, their study found that it comes from localized, it's very localized. It comes from localized small areas. Now, I'm just going to read this one paragraph and then we'll move on. Listen carefully, folks. Levels of methane are highest in autumn in the northern hemisphere, with localized peaks of 70 parts per billion, although methane can be detected across most of the planet at this time of the year. There is a sharp decrease in winter, with only a faint band between 40 and 50 degrees north. Concentrations start to build again in the spring and rise more rapidly in the summer, spreading across the planet. That's exactly what you would expect with biology responding to weather, responding to climate. As it gets warmer, you get more methane because you get more rapid decay. We're getting close, folks. We are getting really close. We're so close you can bite it on the butt. They are about to tell us there's life on Mars. It's coming.
I think so, too. I really do.
That's just my opinion. I have no inside information there, and I'm not making a prediction. It's just my opinion that's what this is leading up to. That's where it's going to end. They're going to tell us there is life on Mars. All right, now, Jose, during the break, I learned something from you that I did not know. We were talking about that weird situation that we had right at the top of the hour where the TV channel seized up, your telephone line seized up, but not the other one. The other one was fine because you remember I called you during that period of time on the other line. I used the other line and called you and told you that just hang on, everything's rebooting, and I'll call you back. Did I do that?
I went through the same thing with Art Bell.
Well, that's what you were telling me. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was down for a half hour. You know, we were just suddenly cut off. Listeners didn't notice it. You know, Art Bell kept talking and everything. It was like a commercial break, but it was a half hour that I was off the charts, man. I was off the grid. And
you couldn't call him?
I couldn't call anybody. My phone lines went down. And suddenly I'm back on, and there you go, ended the show. But it was like with you. A while ago when we went off the air, I tried calling you back, and all I got was a dead signal. Couldn't dial out, you know. So.
Yeah, but see, the weird thing is this. During that period of time, I used the other telephone line and called you just to tell you that it was rebooting. Remember when I called you, and I said, it's rebooting, and I'll call you right back?
Yeah.
Okay, that was the other telephone line on the same telephone running through the same equipment.
Yeah.
So, weird stuff.
That surprised me. I mean, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. Okay, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dave from New Lebanon, Ohio.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hi there. Hey, I'm an amateur astronomer. And I have access to, we've been dabbling in astrophotography, and I have access to a real big group of people with some serious equipment. And if this ship is out there, we should be able to get some good shots from some real amateur astronomers. And where exactly is this located? You say out by Pluto, but do you have a general idea of where we could possibly do some filming?
I'll tell you what. I'll give you the coordinates. And you've got a pencil and paper. Write these down right now.
I'm set to go. Go right in.
What's that?
He said he's ready. Go ahead.
Right ahead. I'm all set.
Oh, okay. It's 10, 24. Okay, wait a minute. Let's get technical here. It's 10 hours, 24 minutes, 44.75 seconds, comma,
okay.
And then it's minus 85 degrees, 28, uh-huh. And it looks like feet, 39.9 inches. That's what I'm seeing here. Hold on, I'm sorry. Hold it. It's minus 85 okay. degrees, 28, and it looks like a foot, you know, 28 feet, 36.8 inches. Now, these are the coordinates according to SkyMap.org.
Okay.
All right? So if you go to sky-map.org, and mm-hmm. on the area where it says find the object, you type in those coordinates, it'll show you the square where it captures it, and then you can zoom in with the zoom tool, which, by the way, is backwards. You know how on MapQuest and all these other things, a zoom tool,
sure.
you move the toolbar up, you zoom in. Well, this is backwards. For whatever reason.
Okay.
Scroll down.
That'll give me a good general idea, too, where to look. Yeah, I'll use that map and see what we can come up with. And we'll do over a 6-day period or so.
If you could find that with your telescope, holy moly, man, you'd be able to really give us some some size fractions, right?
Yeah, I have a computerized telescope, and I have access to some really nice CCD equipment from people, and we can map that area for like a week or so and see what kind of movement and stuff we do.
Wow.
Because a lot of these guys are really into looking for asteroids and stuff, and they're good at finding movements. And if there's something moving and something out there, I'm sure we can get a hold of it. And I'll just get back here in a week or so and see what I've come up with.
No. I tell you what, I want you to stay in touch with me. Let me give you my personal direct email. It's Jose, J-O-S-E, at, and there's four letters. T as in Tom, B as in Bob, L as in Larry, N as in Nancy, .com. That's Jose at TBLN.com. Because what I want to do with you is I want to give you the coordinates that John Leonard Walson gave me of these big, giant starships that are orbiting Earth, you know, the interstellar stuff. I want to send you my video so you can look at what I'm talking about, and let's see if we can or cannot zone in on them, all right? I want an honest thing from this.
Okay. I'll send an email off to you, and you'll have my address, and then we'll correspond that way, and we'll see what we can come up with.
Phone number and everything. I will send you my phone number and everything, and let's stay in touch on this, because I need somebody like you that knows this stuff, that's willing to take that leap, and let's go for it, man. Let's find out what's going on.
Yeah, I got access to some real big equipment, and we should be able to really do something here.
That's
okay.
Awesome, man. I've always wanted to find out, man. You know, I'm a guy that wants to find out, you know.
All right, Dave,
be fantastic.
Thank you for the call, and do stay in touch with Jose, and I hope you guys can get this thing get this thing going. And look, whenever you and Dave come up with whatever you come up with, whether you confirm the Walson videos or you don't, I'd like to hear back. I'd like to know what you find.
Kevin, you'll be the first to know. We'll announce it on your show. We're going to tell you the truth, man. If we find out that these are just artifacts or anomalies and there's nothing there, hey, what can I say? We will deliver you the goods, man.
Okay.
And if it turns out to be something real that is out of the ordinary, then we will also do that, too.
Outstanding.
All right, so I hope this gentleman does stay in touch with me. I am really serious.
Well, I hope he does too, and I think he will. Dave from Ohio. All right, folks, 623-444-5889, and toll free is 888-223-4599. What's the most impressive of the Walson videos that you've seen?
I saw an object that kind of revealed what appears to be an alien gray sitting atop a cockpit of this ship.
Wow.
And I swear, man, I don't make this stuff up, Kevin. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it was sent to me, and I go, okay. So, and I hadn't noticed it before. I saw the footage, and I go, what's so significant about this? It looks like it looked like to me like one of Bigelow's space things that he's put up there.
Uh-huh.
But no, he pointed out this one thing, and there's a looks like an alien gray sitting up in like a one of the Jetsons, you know, those little starships, man. I mean it, you know. So it's like, wow, what's this? And sure enough, it looks like an alien gray. And I'll send you that photo. I mean, I have nothing to hide, but this is what he sent me, so I had to go on what.
Yeah, you have to work with what they send. Okay, let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Jose. It's Stefan in Quebec City.
Hello, Stefan.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Listen, Jose, a little while ago you said that you expected that probably the date at which these huge objects approaching Earth would arrive around mid-October. Is that correct?
I said that according to Kevin's guest last night, that, yeah, he says that sometime between the 13th of October or later, up into the later part of the year, some objects are supposed to appear at all the major cities across the world.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not my imagination.
Yeah, I just think it's really fascinating because... Well, if you look at the whole synchronicity thing between dates and, you know, like, for instance, 9/11, 9/11, there's a synchronization right there. And also October 12th, 1492 was the time of first contact between Europeans and Native Americans. October 14th was the no-show of 2008. Now we have someone saying October 13th. So I don't know. Mid-October sounds like a good as date as any. If we're going to have one date to be to having that right on around that day, would be pretty good. What do you think?
You know, I wish they would have landed on my birthday, man, because it would really be significant, you know. But what can you do? I am, just like everyone else, I am hopeful that something occurs that finally shows people, namely, you know, most of the dumbed-down society, that, look, this is the real deal. These things are real. It's not a farce. Not a joke. It's the real deal. But, you know, Kevin, you'll agree with me. We are the ones that want it to go, man. Just let's see what happens.
All right, we have to step away for a break. Stefan, thanks for the call. And we'll be back, folks, right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach here, and Jose, what I want to do, we've got some flash messages I need to get to, so we'll get to those very quickly. We have one here from Rick in New Zealand. Hi, Kevin. These large objects approaching our solar system reminds me of the start of my favorite sci-fi novel called Rendezvous with Rama by Arthur C. Clarke. It turns out that humanity is naively anthropomorphic in their initial estimate of the approaching object's destination, and after investigations are left with more questions than answers, and he highly recommends the novel. Leonardo in Puerto Rico, hi, Kevin and Jose, the lady from the UN backed out from being an ambassador. Oh,
wow.
Okay, so I guess they have to go to Starbucks. Absolutely must go to Starbucks. There's no ambassador to meet. Okay, Anthony in the Netherlands. Hi, Kevin and Jose. Have a question about what happened to the movie. I remembered Jose would launch about figures around us that we can't see, but are there when you use special lenses. Things in space, I think Commander Hatton's ships, Commander of the Light ships, which are there to protect Earth, preluding the arrival of the greatest Sananda. Oops.
I think he's talking about Interstellar.
Okay.
Those are the ships that are watching us. And I am doing, as I develop more, now that I've got Dave, hopefully, if he still, you know, comes forth and uses the big telescopes, so that we can film in the same areas where these John Leonard Walsh ships allegedly exist, I will do a movie called Interstellar, The Case Files, you know, and I'll bring out all the stuff, man, all the goodies. So let's see how this goes. That, you know, I wanted to say one thing. This also brings into question about Planet X. I'm sure you've heard of Planet X, right?
Yeah, done some shows on it.
I mean, it's like, okay, so we have all these starships that are out there. What about Planet X? What is the validity of this planet that's headed towards us? I mean, what is the deal? You know, I'm always interested in finding things out, and nothing has really surfaced. Only people like Jason Martell and others that are on top of it, on the research. But have you heard anything else on it, Kevin?
Well, I haven't, and I've heard a lot of people talking about it. I've read a lot of stuff where people are discussing, and but you know, one of the things that make this very difficult is that there is in place a worldwide secrecy program. This is not fiction. I've detailed it right here on this show. I've told the names of the institutions that are involved, and I've read their own documents and what they say about it. And it's primarily the International Astronomical Union, and there are a whole bunch of other organizations, but setting right on top of it all was SETI. Well, now that if SETI has been cut off of government funding, and I don't know if they're still open or if they're closed or what's the deal, but you know, if they evaporate, what does that do to the secrecy regime for astronomical findings? Jose, the International Astronomical Union actually published in their annual report in 1974, it was the report for the year 1973, that they had suppressed, and they used that word, suppressed information from several astronomers and astronomical observatories about the discovery of several minor planets in our solar system.
Wow.
Okay, so we've got several minor planets that you and I don't know about.
Yeah.
They suppressed it even from their own members.
They've admitted they suppressed the information.
They put that in print.
Holy moly.
Okay. They put that in print. That's in their own words.
And you know, the majority of JQ Public, which I'm calling him John Hughes, all right,
okay.
Public, which is the majority of the dumbed-down society that we live amongst, they have no idea that this document even exists, unless they listen to your show, Kevin.
Well, that's true. And
can you imagine?
Well,
myself, I'm plugged into this genre, into this, you know, ufology and the conspiracy things. This is the first time I ever heard about this document, and that's me. So, can you imagine?
Yeah, I understand. It's there's so much information, it's hard for people to know what's out there. And it's like I said, you know, there's not much in this genre that squeaks past me without me knowing something about it. Maybe I'm not an expert on it, but I'll know a little bit about it.
I'm plugged in, but boy, this document you just told me about.
Yeah, it's the 1974 annual report of the International Astronomical Union.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And it's their word. They published it, and they used the word suppressed.
Wow. This reminds me, and this is, I've seen this document. Jordan Maxwell brought me I'm doing a promo for Jordan Maxwell. It's going to knock people's heads into the next vision, the way I call it. In 1959, the California Senate had a meeting, and you know they document this, and they and I think it's page like 32 or 33. They mention a thing that says there's a group in New York that is called the Illuminati that are planning to implement a thing called the New World Order, and basically it's communism and fascism combined. It's all one and the same thing. And this is word for word basically what it states. And it says, this group in New York consists of a group of bankers, Wall Street lawyers, and politicians that are bent on overthrowing the United States government. Now, this is 1959.
Mm-hmm.
A meeting held in the state capital of California in this book. And it describes this as a group in New York. And it says the only difference between communism and fascism is whatever party you're talking about. It's all one and the same thing. And it says they are based in New York City and they are wanting to overthrow the government of the United States.
Well, they've done a pretty good job of it.
Joe Maxwell has this information, and I've got a copy of it, of the document.
Mm-hmm.
1959. People out there have no clue.
Oh, there are people still running around debating whether the Illuminati actually exists. You know.
It's very real.
Yeah.
Very real. And
well, listen, we are out of time, Jose, and this has been fascinating. I knew when these photographs started showing up out there on the internet that Jose Escamilla is someone whose eye has been on these photographs and would know something about it. And so I appreciate you for coming on the show and talking with us this evening about this possibly earth-shaking information. Stay on the line with me for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap for this evening. You might want to stay tuned if you're watching our TV channel because we've got something a little special for you. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.